Good morning. It's good to see your smiling faces this morning. And it really is, and you really are, and that's strange. And welcome to you who are watching by video. Thank you for your faithfulness in watching. It's really encouraging when I can look at the YouTube channel and say, oh, you've seen 40,000 views. It's never done that. But when it's like 20, I mean, it's great. That's 20 more people, or maybe even as much as 60 more people that we've touched. You know what I mean? All right. Today, we're going to continue our series that's entitled Supernatural Supply. How many of you are glad this morning that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in your life? Come on, come on. And He even takes responsibility for your life? Come on, come on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I really can't picture, okay? I really can't picture Christianity without the Holy Spirit being in the picture. I mean, He's such an integral part of my walk with the Lord, and I'm sure in your walk with the Lord. He's such an important part of our walk, and He's such an indispensable part of our walk with the Lord. I mean, I would never want to do without Him. Honestly, I just cannot imagine Him not being by my side and living in me. How many of you are glad that He can live in you? Hallelujah. Directing you and correcting you. You know, there's something different about when the Holy Spirit corrects you. When my wife corrects me, I occasionally can get a little bit testy, you know? And she can be wrong if she wants to. Good morning. All right. Would you stand with me, please? Let's declare what we know to be true about the Bible. All right? Are you ready? Take your Bible in your hand, raise it towards heaven, and here we go. Say, here we go.
Here we go.
All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Are you ready to go? Amen. I kind of like the fact that you're being rather loud this morning. I'd like that. I really do. Amen? Yes. Anyway, the message this morning is entitled Comfortable Conviction. All right? Comfortable Conviction. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? You're like two words that just really don't belong together. I mean, how can you be convicted and still be comfortable or comforted? But the thing is, I can assure you this morning, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, all right, of something, that conviction will eventually lead you to a place of comfort. Amen? And I hope to prove that to you today. I have some questions for you to consider as we get started. The first one is this. Can you remember a moment when you first realized that you were a sinner and you needed a saving? You needed to repent and turn to Jesus. Can you remember that day? Can you remember that hour, that time, where you were, what was happening? Can you?
Yes.
Good, good. Number two, can you think of someone today that you know who is lost? And you have sensed the Holy Spirit really tugging at your heart to speak to them about Jesus. Do you know anybody that you should probably talk to about the Lord? Okay. And number three, this is the one that, you know, this is the one. How long has it really been? Okay? How long has it really been? And I realize life gets busy and we get distracted and those things, but how long has it really been since you've reached out to someone and told them about Jesus? Now, don't yell out the number of days, hours, weeks, months it may have been. Just think about that within yourself, okay? How long has it really been since you've really told someone about Jesus, about the Lord? Consider that. Turn with me, if you would, to John 16:8, and we will read that verse right there. John 16:8. Are you there? It's just before 16:9. All right, it's just after 16:7. John is found right after it begins. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Wave at me. All right. And when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, okay, and when he has come, he will convict or reprove, depending on the translation that you're reading. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's all, okay? And today I want to tear that scripture apart to a degree. And Gary Timmer, could you come up here and pray, please? Pray that the power of the Holy Spirit just gets released today in a greater way even than it has already, okay? All right. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I feel excited today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Father, we just are so glad that we can come here and be in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Father, that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit just flows in this place, God, flows through us and in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you that your power, God, the power that you send is here today, God, to teach us, to change us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just continue, Lord, to pour out your presence, pour out your power in us and through us, Lord. Father, let us get even more excited than we already are.
Yes.
God, I thank you, Lord, that as your word comes forth, God, that chains will fall, Lord, and that we will just feel the freedom in this place, God. God, send your power, Lord. Let your glory be known in this place, God, and change our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Gary.
I got turned.
Amen. What?
I got turned. I was over here.
Oh, I know. That happens sometimes, you know. Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to find your seat. You know, no, it's all right. Okay. I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I already did again, okay? Do you remember the first time that you were convicted that you were a sinner and that you needed saving? I mean, maybe you knew that the way that you were living your life wasn't quite right, okay? I'm not talking about the realization of your condition that comes from common sense, all right? Like a bad hangover on a Sunday morning. Common sense tells you, maybe I'm not doing something right, you know? I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit brings conviction into your life that says, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Now, I'm going to do my best to get through this, all right? And I'm already in trouble, okay? For me, that revelation came on a Sunday morning after a night of partying and what I was just talking about, way too much drinking, at the bowling alley, bowling with our friends on a league, or who I thought were our friends, and a full night of fighting with Serena, okay? Although I had spent the first 15 years of my life in church, okay, every time the doors were opened, I mean, at age 16, about the time I started drinking, I protested about going to church. I got up in the morning, I told my mom, that, you know, I ain't going to do this. And for some reason that I can't begin to tell you, she didn't push me to go to church after that. Maybe I said some cruel things. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't remember what I said. And I became one of those people who didn't go to church, okay? Nor even think much about church or think much about Jesus after I stopped going. You see, and just hear me this morning, it's possible to go to the church and still not be the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's possible to go to the church and still not be the church. And I sure wasn't the church. My mother, God rest her soul, okay, was the Sunday school superintendent of a fairly large Reformed church that was in the town that where I grew up, all right? We were at that church as much as it was humanly possible. We were there every time. We were there every time the doors were open. I remember growing up going to Sunday school Sunday morning, and then we'd go on into the Sunday morning service. Then it was on to Sunday night church, okay? And then on Wednesday, we were sure to be counted among those who were at the Heidelberg Catechism class. God help me, Jesus. We never missed a Sunday school picnic. And all those are really some pretty good memories in my childhood, but we never missed it. And there's a reason why I'm telling you that. We were always there. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? We were always there. Why am I telling you this? You know, what's your point, Pastor? I'm saying all this to show you that by the world standards, if you will, we were all committed Christians, okay? We were committed Christians. And by the church's standards, we were all committed Christians as well. I mean, we attended when we were supposed to attend. We dressed like we were supposed to dress. Well, maybe not today. We did what we were supposed to do. Okay? We said what we were supposed to say. We appeared by all intents and purposes to be part of the redeemed. Okay? And I can't speak for my mother. I'm sure she was. I can't speak for my sister, but I know she wasn't. All right? Nobody could be. No, never mind. And although I always went to Sunday school where my teachers taught me about Jesus, it's amazing. I never knew anything about having a personal relationship with Jesus. Did they talk about salvation? I don't know, maybe, probably, you know, could be. Did I hear them? No. It wasn't the focus, you see. The focus was attending the church services. That was the focus. Are you with me? Yep. Nevertheless, okay, just as it is with every person that has ever been born, I was born a sinner, and my sinful condition absolutely and positively separated me from my God. Amen? Are you with me there? All right. I needed Jesus. Sometimes today I still say, I just need Jesus, because I do, you know. But at that time, I needed Jesus. So now fast forward to what was about 38 years ago, okay? God, do I feel old. Yeah, 38 years ago. Is that right, Serena? Good. Serena had gotten, you know, genuinely and gloriously saved one afternoon watching Christian TV. That can happen. Genuinely convicted of her sins, which were many. I'm just really glad there's a secret sister dinner after church today. And she turned her life over to Jesus, and thankfully she never looked back, okay? Never looked back. And she began to pray for me to see my need for Jesus. She knew that there was nothing that she could do but pray for me because, you know, I was pretty set in my partying ways, you know? In fact, I remember, and I've told you this before, one of the first things I told Serena after I had gotten saved was, I'm not going to quit drinking. God doesn't care. And I never drank again. Okay? That's deliverance. Amen. Amen. But I was stuck in my partying ways, okay? And it was going to take much more than just my wife getting saved for me to turn my life over to Christ. Just to get me saved, it was probably going to take an actual miracle, all right? But Serena had this pure faith. You know the kind of faith that you have at the beginning of your relationship with the Lord where you believe that Jesus can do anything. And you aren't tainted by life, and you're not tainted by other Christians and their views and their doctrines and their theology and the doxology and all the other ologies that there is. And it wasn't until that Sunday morning that I mentioned earlier, December 23rd, 3 months after Serena turned her life over to Jesus, and after that drunken, messed up night, at the bowling alley that I came face to face with Jesus. See, and when I think about this, I mean, literally, okay? Literally. I had a vision. Didn't know that at the time. Didn't realize that at the time. But I had a vision of Jesus while I was in the hallway of my house. I was just walking down the hallway and bam. By the way, Jesus talks to sinners. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know? I know that ruffles the feathers of some of your theology, but I'm really sorry. He does talk to sinners. But he spoke loudly and clearly to me that morning. It was like this, okay? I'm walking down the hallway. I remember looking at the thermostat. This is how vividly I remember it. But all of a sudden, I was back at the bowling alley, you know? And from a setting located somewhere by the scoreboard, okay, in the bowling alley, I saw Jesus. I don't know what he was doing there. And he said to me, you know, Wes, he still calls me Wes, okay? Wes, you can have it your way and get what you got last night, or you can have it my way. And I don't know what it was about the way he said it to me, but at the moment I really felt that that was the last time he was going to ask, okay? That I had to make a decision. And suddenly, say suddenly, how many of you know that God works in the suddenlies of our lives? Amen. One moment you're this way, the next moment you're that way. Okay? That's real God, okay? Suddenly I knew that without a shadow of a doubt that I really didn't have much of an argument against Jesus and what he had confronted me with. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wasn't able to do by myself. There was weeks before that. Every weekend I'd get saved, you know? That would get me out of the doghouse, all right? I had worked third shift, and I wouldn't come home till 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, you know where I was, right? Don't use your imagination too much with that, okay? But I knew what I wanted, but I also knew what I couldn't do, all right? But that day, I was convinced and convicted in my heart, and I realized the truth that my life was just spinning out of control because of my own choices, not because of Serena or because of my mom or because of my dad or my alcoholic uncles or anything. That wasn't their fault, okay? It was my fault. I was doing things the way I wanted to do them. I was making the choices I wanted to make. I was doing the things that felt good, you know? A life that was controlled by me and not Christ and the Holy Spirit's influence. I knew better, right? Didn't I? I mean, think about it. My upbringing, I must have known better. But I had never before that morning ever paid attention to that still small voice that speaks to all of us, saint and sinner alike. And I believe with all of my heart there are people who aren't saved out there today that are hearing that they should get saved. Yes. Amen? Somehow that still small voice means a lot more than when you and I go up to them. But it might take our voice to go up to them to say that to initiate the other voice. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that day I heard, and I'm glad that I did. In John chapter 16, verse 8, that we read at the start of the message, we see that Jesus said this, that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to convict the lost people of their sin. Okay? One of the works that he does. Let me read that again. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Let me give you the definition of convict, okay? As you would look and see it in the dictionary. To convict or to be convicted means this. It means to prove or be declared guilty of an offense, especially after a legal trial. Secondly, it's to convict a prisoner of a felony. And then to impress someone with a sense of guilt. That convicting, convincing work of the Holy Spirit is what Serena experienced in September, was it the 28th or 25th, 1984, okay? And what I experienced December 23rd of the same year. That was probably the longest 3 months of Serena's life, you know? It was then that both of us, at those different times, finally heard and heeded the call of the Holy Spirit. And if you know Jesus this morning, I'm sure that you can remember the time in your own life when you too finally came to the place and you experienced this convincing, convicting power of the Spirit. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Amen. It was like, you know, you all of a sudden, you knew as you knew as you knew. You know, and that's the way it is when God speaks into your heart and you don't hear him out here, but you hear him in your knower, okay? You all of a sudden know as you know as you know, as you know. In other words, you were absolutely convinced that without a shadow of a doubt, okay, that you were a sinner and nothing you could do was going to change that except by accepting Jesus and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. That's the only thing. Are you still with me? Let's look a little bit closer at the scripture text for today, especially the word convict, okay, that's used in John 16, 18. The word convict is translated from the Greek word elenko, all right? Say elenko. And it means to expose or to convict, such as to convict a criminal of a crime. This word was used in a court of law to describe legal proceedings during which a person was examined and then cross-examined by a prosecuting attorney. And after that thorough examination, if the person was found guilty of the accusations that were brought against them, you know what happened, then the court would convict them of the crime and issue a corresponding judgment, all right? Basically, what it was is this. It was a conviction that led to condemnation, all right? It was a conviction that led to a condemnation. And it's this word that Jesus used to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in John 16, 8. And he said that the Spirit would convict the world of sin. He was telling us, and Jesus wanted us to know this, okay, and there's a reason for it, that one of the significant works of the Holy Spirit that he has been talking about is to cross-examine a sinner's heart until that sinner becomes convinced and convicted that they are lost. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit, when you're just as you were getting saved, he was cross-examining your heart. As you were looking at your motives and your reasons for doing things, he was cross-examining you and proving that you needed Jesus. You know, this is so much easier than we make it, all right? It's so much easier than we make it. We try to put man's rules on all this stuff that Jesus has said, and I want you to know, it's good news. Amen? It's easier than what we make it. But unlike a prosecuting attorney or a court judge, in the example that I just gave you, and this ought to get you shouting this morning, okay? So get a deep breath, all right? Because you're getting ready to shout. I know you are. Instead of a conviction that led to a condemnation, we receive from the Holy Spirit a conviction that leads to our comfort. Hallelujah! Jesus. Yeah, give the Lord some praise this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit, and this is one way to find out if you're really hearing the voice of God by what it does to you, okay? It's like this. The Holy Spirit's goal is not to condemn you. His assignment is to accompany you. Oh, glory to God! His assignment is to accompany you from your life of sin into a life full of forgiveness and a life of liberty. Glory to God. He takes responsibility for you, and then he accompanies you. Glory. Oh, it's not that difficult. So the conviction of the Comforter doesn't bring condemnation. All right? It doesn't. The conviction that the Comforter brings and actually leads you to a place where you are comforted. That conviction should start you down a road, okay? Now I'm going to try to tell you why. Because when you're convicted, you are comforted by the fact that you have not been condemned like you would be in a worldly court, okay? You don't have a sentence to work out. You know, you've got freedom then. You know, you're not locked up. You've been set free. Glory to God. When I got saved, and I would imagine most of you feel this way too, when I got saved, I got set free. Amen. That old life that had a hold of me. And I'm telling you right now, it had a hold of me. Something I couldn't get off. I tried and I tried in those Friday nights that I would come home and tell Serena that I guess I should get saved. There was times when I was serious, but I couldn't do it because I was trying to do it on my own. When God has set it up so that I still have to make a decision, but then the Holy Spirit accompanies me on that journey. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. I remember hearing so much, you know, when Benny Hinn was really popular, and he talked about Catherine Kuhlman. And Catherine Kuhlman always talked about how she had such a close relationship with the Holy Spirit and how she just loved him and all that. And I didn't really quite realize what she was saying. Or I'd agree with her, but, you know, but I'm starting to understand what that relationship with the Holy Spirit really entails. It's not work on my behalf, it's receiving on my behalf. Amen? Amen. But when you are convicted, you are comforted by the fact that you have not been condemned. I mean, glory to God. Are you beginning to get this? Praise God. Okay? I'm almost done. Am I really? Just a minute. Maybe not. What we have to remember, you know, as Christians, and a large part of our Christian walk is remembering, okay? Remembering where we came from. You know, when I remember where I came from and where I am today, and I know I'm not where I should be, okay? You know what I mean? But when I remember what used to be the focus of my life to what's the focus of my life now, I just rejoice. Amen? I would never have pictured in a million years that I would be in front of a bunch of people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, although at 10 years old was the first time God called me. If I'd have just answered that call, it would have saved me a lot of stuff. Amen? And I didn't realize that until I got thinking about it after I was saved and serving the Lord. But one day I was reading my Bible, my King James Bible, my King James personal size Bible with maps in concordance. It was written about that big, okay? And I was laying by the register at my mom and dad's house, and I got up and walked over to mom and dad, and I said, you know, I really wouldn't mind being a minister. And she, you know, they said, oh, yeah, ha, 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 you know. But that was the first time that God began to speak to me. I didn't recognize the voice. I didn't even probably give it much more of a thought. It happened again when I was 18. In the bathtub, and don't picture that, but I was laying there, and he spoke to me again, and I was starting to understand, but I still didn't recognize his voice. Okay, I'll bring it to an end. Then finally, I very maturely set out this great big fleece before the Lord, right? And I said, if this guy tells me I'm called into the ministry at this date, at this spot, I was going to make it as hard as I could. Then I believe that I'm called into the ministry. So, you know what happened. I went to this place, and this guy happened to be there, and he said what he said. He said, if you don't become a minister, you're crazy. And I kind of went, oh, my goodness. Anyway, the rest is history, okay? It's all right, isn't it? But the very place that the comforter brings conviction to, okay, is the very place that eventually ends up bringing you comfort, all right? When a sinner's eyes are opened, or when your eyes are opened, okay, and you truly grasp the fact that you are spiritually lost and that you deserve judgment, that's what you deserve. Your actions have deserved judgment, and it triggers that moment when from your heart you cry out to God for a salvation only He can give. And that is precisely the purpose of conviction, okay? That's precisely the purpose. The enemy sends condemnation, amen? Come on. It masks itself like conviction sometimes. Sometimes you have to look close. But the enemy is the one who brings condemnation, not the Holy Spirit. He sends conviction, and that conviction, again, ultimately leads you to comfort. In Romans 2:4, Paul told us that It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance or to salvation, okay? In fact, let me read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. Not louder, just longer. I'm sorry, I got to quit saying that. I just think it's so funny. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will? The word lead here is the Greek word ago, okay? Like it's spelled like ago. And it gives us a picture that God graciously leads us where we could never go by ourselves. Let that statement sink into you just a minute. That God leads you where you cannot get by yourselves. I mean, it's not like you can't find the way, ever, because God's the only one that can take you to that place. And I think that in itself ought to get you going this morning, because God leads and takes you to a place that you can't get to by yourself. You can't even find it. Let me try to explain. God lovingly steps into our life, all right, to escort us. What does it mean to escort us? And you escort, come here. Oh, I'm going to get you. Come on. All right. Don't tell him all the things I've done to you, okay? All right, this is God, and he's going to take us to salvation. You know, he escorts us. All right, are you with me?
I'm with you.
I know you're with me. All right. I want to trip him so bad. Yeah. Okay. See, he lovingly steps into our life and escorts us to a crucial point of knowledge, if you will, where we understand finally, okay, finally understand that we are sinners in need of salvation and that we need his help. I mean, realizing it is one thing, but knowing where to go and getting it is another, because I can't get there by myself, right? Come on. And you can't get there by yourself. Jesus takes us there because we can't get there. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit, God, they take us there. They escort us there. And this is why, the reason why the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Conviction is not made or there to make us feel bad, but to help us see our need for salvation. And even if you're convicted over something else, you're already saved, it's to free you up more, and that's what the definition of salvation is, okay? You know, let's just take smoking, for instance. Let's say you smoke and you're feeling convicted to give it up. It's the same principle. God will walk you right there. Come on. And he doesn't convict you to make you feel bad. The feel bad part is from the enemy, all right? The part that's going to bring you comfort in the end after the conviction is what the Holy Spirit brings you. And I don't know about you, because I used to smoke pretty much, okay? This is confession day. Gosh. Don't stone me after church, okay? And when I finally did quit, it wasn't me quitting. Seriously, I understand this. It was finally at a place where I could yield to and to go along with God, who was going to escort me to the place where I was going to have some salvation from it. Does that make sense to you this morning? Maybe I should have used drugs or something. Of course, then you'd think I was a junkie. I'll get these emails this week. Don't think about crack, Wes. Sorry. Conviction, it's not there to make you feel bad, because conviction leads us to salvation, and in knowing we are saved, we have the comfort. You know, these are bad times. Amen? These are bad, bad times. But there's one thing I know. I am comforted in the bad time because the Holy Spirit came to me and convicted me, and right now I am comforted that I know where I'm going to go when this whole thing wraps up. All right? You understand? And if you don't have that comfort this morning, you can get it. You know, if you don't have that comfort, we can pray with you. You can receive it. And the Holy Spirit, who is here already, will escort you to that place. Because you can't get there from here because you don't know how to get there. Because you've tried in the past and you haven't been able to. I hope you know what I'm talking about. So one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, okay, is to cause a sinner's heart to cry out for God. It is. And steer them to the cross of Christ, where there and only there they can find forgiveness and the release from judgment. But you still need the Holy Spirit to walk you there. Why? Because you've heard of it all your life, right? But when you get saved, it takes on a whole different aura, okay? It becomes something different than what it was hearing about a guy that, you know, some Jew that got nailed to a cross. Oh, that's Jesus. Oh, you know? It's only at the cross, all right? Only at the cross. It's only at the cross of Christ that you can find forgiveness and release from judgment. All right? Only there. And that awakening moment, if you will, came for me when I met Jesus on December 23rd, 1984, on that Sunday morning. We ought to give God praise just a minute for those awakening moments. Aren't you glad for those awakening moments when suddenly you know as you know as you know? Amen? Amen. Amen. And at the culmination of those awakening moments, we have a choice to make, okay? To run to the light and be changed, okay? And surrender and be changed. Or to run from the light and continue in darkness and not be changed. Praise God. I hope everybody in here has run from the darkness, amen, and run towards the light. And has gotten saved. But if you haven't, then come and talk to me after church and then I will help you get there, okay? The Comforter brings conviction that results in our comfort. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads just a minute?